Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
We're so glad to be with you again, and we thank the Lord for all of His goodness and mercy. And I think of a scripture verse, and then we'll be talking of Jesus' great high priestly prayer. But Isaiah 9:6, it says, "Unto us a child is born." That's Jesus. "Unto us a son is given." He's the Son of God, and His name shall be called Wonderful. And if you're saved, you're born again, He is the most wonderful person that you have ever met or ever will meet. Counselor. That's our lawyer and our advisor. Counselor, the mighty God, and Jesus is God. That's important for you to understand. Have you accepted Him as your God? That's what gives you eternal life. And He's called the mighty God. As I see what goes on around the world, although He gives man freedom, and He's given him a long chain today, a long rope today to do what He pleases, yet He intervenes all the time. And when I watch it, His interventions, so many times you see His power and glory, and nothing ever stops Him at all. And I see it all the time. And the Bible talks about that at the end of the age, why the nations of the world are coming up against Israel, and they're going to try to destroy it. And the Bible says they're going to come against God at that time. And it says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision," because it's just humorous. And the very idea they can do anything against God, it's like somebody trying to empty the Pacific Ocean with a teaspoon. Well, it just doesn't, it's not going to happen. And we see God intervening all the time. And God said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." And they'll not pass away. And it's easier for the sun to burn out and the stars to go out of their courses in heaven and blow out, but then His words to pass away, because He's identified with His words. A lot of people don't understand what we're doing here in this program. We make such an issue about His words. You cannot read the Bible without seeing that Jesus connects Himself with His words always. He says, "If you're ashamed of me and my words," and Jesus lives in us through His words. And so that's why we make an issue. And He said, "I've given them my words." And so He's given it to us. And He's made it clear where it is. And every scripture verse dealing with the Word of God points like to the King James Bible, like a laser beam. There's no question about it. Now, the textual critics and the people that are, you have the group of, I call them the chaos cult, you know, they have reasoned themselves into a ditch, and they don't know which way to get out. And the people that follow them, they don't know where the Word of God is, but the Bible tells us where it is, and it's very, very clear, and we have it today in the Authorized King James Bible. But we're going to read some more statements today about what Jesus says about His words. But before we do that, we'll have a report from our scientist in residence, Pastor Al Davis, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, will give us a report on the King James Bible, really, in science.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you again today. Just want to remind people that they can look at your website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and we have some past programs there. We have some other materials there. There's your booklet, Correcting the King James Bible. They can read that at that site. And also, they can hear you teaching and preaching on Bible history, and they can listen to you sing. There's a couple things, links to you singing in some places that you've been. And then there's links to some other materials that you've mentioned on the program from time to time. They can find all that out at whereisgodsword.com. There's also some background information on you and myself as well. And all that is at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to mention something this week. I remember when I was in college, and I don't remember what class it was. I believe it was in one of my biology classes in college, or maybe it was high school biology class, and then it was repeated in college. But we were taught that In terms of the way that the cells in your body reproduce, they should be able to just keep on going on. And in reality, unless you got run over by a truck or had a meteorite drop on your head, you know, barring some strange freak accident, you should be able to just keep on going. Your body should be able to continue to maintain itself. But for some reason, at a certain point, the body begins to break down. It begins to age, and things like that happen. And I remember when I was taught in college, they said that really, we don't know why that happens. Well, I've got a hint as to why that happens. If you look in your Bible in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had disobeyed God and eaten from the forbidden fruit, God says to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Now that right there, all the days of thy life, means that his physical life was going to come to an end. Now remember, God had told Adam that he would die if he ate that forbidden fruit, and that refers to him spiritually dying, which took place immediately. He was separated, he was cut off in his relationship with God. But then it continues on, verse 18 and 19, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee," that's the ground, "and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field." And he says in verse 19, "The sweat of thy face thou shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And this is talking about death, physical death. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, "Wherefore as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so we know from the Bible that we are going to eventually die. That's a result of sin. That's the curse that's been placed on us. Adam and Eve were not supposed to die originally. They were supposed to live forever in their flesh. But because of sin, they died spiritually immediately, and then God placed a curse on them, which resulted ultimately in their physical death. Well, I was reading an article recently, and it was entitled, "Cancer Research Confirms the Curse." And it was by a guy by the name of Brian Thomas. He wrote this for the Institute for Creation Research. But cancer research confirms the curse. And we understand what cancer is. Cancer occurs when you have cells that begin to grow out of control. And one of the things they found that causes this is DNA copying errors. Now, every cell in your body is constantly, you're having cells replicate themselves. Trillions of cells every day in your body are replicating themselves. And during the process of replication, the cell is going through a process called mitosis. And during mitosis, when the cells divide into two, the DNA inside of your cell is opened up and it's carefully copied. And then when the copies are made, instead of one DNA molecule, you have two now, and each of your genes are replicated like that, with the second copy going to the new cell. Well, they found that this process of copying over time, certain numbers of errors can come in. Now, there's some checkpoints that God has placed there during the course of the division that are supposed to keep errors from occurring, and if errors do occur, prevent that cell from replicating with that. But they found now that despite however healthy you might live, despite how much whole foods you eat, and even if you avoid smoking and inhaling lots of chemicals, you know, you see the different types of work-related things where people breathing fumes and all have developed lung cancers and things like that. But they have found that because if you just live long enough, the number of mutations, and this is referred to in the March 24 issue of the journal Science, they showed that the mutations in a person's lifetime can cause 66% of the cancers that people have. In other words, you can live healthy and you can avoid about a third of the cancers, but if you live long enough, two-thirds of the cancers that people die from come just simply because they've lived long enough that the number of mutations occurring in the cells has added up. So the cells lose their ability to regulate themselves, and as a result, you have cancers take place. And so if a person avoided all cancer-causing exposures, you can't avoid the threat of cancer altogether because it's basically going to happen. The only way to cure cancer ultimately would be to somehow reach into every cell and constantly correct every cell and make sure no mutations take place. Well, this is good evidence of the curse. And the curse entered into was given to the man because sin entered into the world because of Adam's disobedience and death by sin. He died spiritually. He was cut off from God and his fellowship. You can see God going in the garden saying, calling to Adam, asking where he was. They were separated in their fellowship. Spiritually, they had died. And then the curse, he said, that you would eventually return to the dust. Well, the body, eventually, no matter how healthy you are, is going to accumulate mutations that should have been guarded against, but they add up during the course of a lifetime. And so as a result, we have this evidence that just like the curse says, eventually we'll return to the dust. Well, the good news is God has something better planned for us. Even though by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned, we also know that by one man life entered into the world. And as it says in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Christ tasted death for us so that we can escape from the curse, and though this current body may die, we have a better one waiting for us. We have an eternal body, a resurrected body that God's going to give us one day if we trust Christ as our Savior.
Thank you very much, Brother Alan. I always enjoy those reports so well, and I guess a lot of people do because it seems like our audience is growing all the time. I was just looking at our report, and I want to greet all of our audience in Russia that are listening to us now, and you know who you are, but I thank God for all of you and all around the world where you're listening to us, and I believe God has raised this program up for that purpose. But I want to read a few things here, and then I want to read what Jesus says about the issue because he's the one that's important. He's our Lord and our Savior. He's our King, the coming King of this world that's going to transfer this world back into the Garden of Eden. But Charles Spurgeon's influenced as one of the recognized one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, and he dabbled in what we call today the chaos cult of these corrupt Bibles and so on. But then, near the end of his ministry, he saw the folly of it, and he preached a sermon to his Bible Institute, which he had in his church. And by the way, that's the way to fight this: is local church Bible institutes. It's the institutions that get away from the church that are spreading the corruption. Now, he says, Spurgeon says, the approved method of the present carnival of unbelief is not to reject the Bible altogether, but to raise doubts as to portions of it. And they sure do. You know, I was reading here, if I got it right, they have said that the NIV, I believe it is, it says removes words, 63,625 words. From their Bible, from the Word of God, 63,625 words. That's why we have this program, because God has given us his words. And the Bible tells us, every Bible, when it talks about the Word of God, it points to the King James like a laser beam every single time. He says, I've honored my word above all my name. No other book ever written has been so praised and glorified and honored as the King James Bible has. And presidents, they swear their allegiance to the Constitution, their hand on the King James Bible. And God has showed it. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a strange will they not follow. And they've heard his voice to the tune of 5 billion copies in the authorized King James Bible. And today, people that read the Bible every day on the latest reports are reading the King James over all the rest of them put together by a long shot. It's the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. Now, here's another interesting quote by Dr. Frank Logsdon, who was a former pastor of Moody Church. He says he was co-founder of New American Standard Version. He says, I must under God denounce every attachment to the New American Standard Version. I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord. I wrote the format. I wrote the preface. When you see the preface to New American Standard, those are my words. It's wrong, the New American Standard. In other words, it's terribly wrong. It's frighteningly wrong. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive that we do not suspect satanic deception and all of this? And it's amazing, you know, that here you have leading evangelicals recommending that. I just, did they ever read it? I mean, the comparisons in that particular version? It's based on Nestle's 23rd edition, which originally Nestle's was put out by the Jesuits, and based on Constantine's Bibles. And it takes out the names of Jesus 100 times. It makes Jesus out to be a liar and a sinner, and says that he is the son of Joseph, not the son of God. And you have people recommending it as reliable. I mean, I'll tell you who thinks it's reliable. I'm sure the devil's quite pleased with that. He would say amen to that, you know. But the devil's a liar, so we're not going to pay any attention to what the devil says. But we're going to read today what Jesus says and discuss it. And I know I did this a few weeks back, but I want to talk more about this chapter because it's a key chapter. In John chapter 17, it says, these are the words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now think about this. God wants to put man down. He calls him flesh because God is spirit. And he has power over all flesh. He's letting man do his thing right now. But, I mean, he intervenes all the time. And one day he's going to totally cut that chain and take control of all man. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, where are you going to be when you die? Well, that's a question, and almost everyone's afraid of dying. They don't look forward to dying, and they're afraid because they don't know what is going to come. But God gives the answer. I mean, that's what the Bible does. It gives the answer to the problem of death, and the answer is Jesus Christ. And he says, I've given them eternal life. We live forever. And you say, but I see people dying. I mean, physically dying. Yeah, we physically die, but spiritually we don't. And here's an illustration. God puts things in nature to illustrate spiritual realities all the time. Here's a caterpillar. He walks around in a cocoon on his belly in the dust of the earth. But one day, he comes out of that cocoon and he becomes a beautiful butterfly and flies away. Well, our body is like that caterpillar's cocoon. One day we just leave our body and we fly away and we go to be with the Lord. We used to sing that song, I'll fly away. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. And we'll be with Jesus and we'll then be given a body one day in heaven. An incorruptible body like Christ. And Christ is the proof because he got that body. 500 people saw him and he stayed on the earth for 40 days. And they saw him in his glorified body, a body that never grows old. And as Pastor Davis was just mentioning, originally we were made to live forever. But because of sin, we physically die. But when we have eternal life, we live forever. And Jesus called it sleep for the saved person. Just as we go to sleep, our body sleeps, but we wake up in glory. I mean, when I went to my mother's funeral, I used to wonder when she died what it'd be like. And I was thinking, no, she's more alive than she's ever been. She's with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her physical body is there, but she's more alive than ever. So he says, I give them eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the life is, it's just like you get married, you have a life with that person. And you begin a new life with that person. So when we get saved, when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, believing he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, and we're willing to renounce the authority over our own life and give it to him, we have a life with God that lasts forever. And when the physical body dies, so-called dies, it just sleeps. But we immediately go to be with Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. His work was to die for our sin and be buried and rise bodily and physically from the dead. You could see where his grave was. I went to see the place where they put him in the side of the hill. And you could see the bed where they put his body. You could see where they rolled the stone. But he isn't there. He's the living God, and he's alive and well. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, he is saying here, he was glorified before the world was. Jesus always was. He was with the Father forever in eternity past. I have manifest that thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, you can't keep his word unless you have it. And you know what they have taught today? We have what is called deism. Deism today, they used to teach that at the time of the American Revolution. It's God made the world, set some laws in motion, and took off and went to bed or went somewhere. I don't know. But they have in their Bible departments and seminaries, they're deists when it comes to the Bible. God gave it, and they profess to believe it's perfect when he gave it, but he left it. I mean, he's, you know, and now all we have is man-made translations with errors in them. No, we don't. We have the Word of God. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And it says they've kept thy Word. We can't keep it unless we have it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Jesus looked at something. We can look at the perfect law of liberty. We have it in the King James Bible. And the other translations come and go because they're not the Word of God. But we have it today. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. He says, I've given them the words. Do you believe that, or do you have any faith at all? He says, I've given the words. And down through the ages, preachers have said that they had his words, and it was the King James Bible. It's no new teaching, the King James perfect. The guy wrote a whole book on it. Millions of people, and it's been documented, believed it was the Word of God. Why? The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. The King James doesn't have errors in it. The Holy Spirit's guided it not into partial truth, but to all truth. Jesus said, I've given them my words. Do you believe him, or is he a liar? We believe him, and they have received them. If you're saved and you, Jesus has given to him, you've received him. And there's thousands and millions of people today, they know where the Word of God is, and they've received it in the King James Bible. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and thou hast believed, and thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for me which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And we're one because we have, for one thing, the one true Word of God. There's not conflicting Bibles, there's only one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me, see, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now there's people today say that that's a damnable doctrine, and they teach against it. But Jesus said, I never lost any of them. Millions of people have been saved. You say, what about the people that don't believe? Well, it says they went out from us because they were not of us, for if they'd been of us, They no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out that their deeds might be manifest. Jesus is with us forever, and his word is with us.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.